Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Sorry, I was just scanning some news headlines there. A little slow putting the headset back on, but man, we got a lot to talk about. I want to break down the sticking points for that one big, beautiful bill back on Capitol Hill. You know, the positives, of course, the huge positives are making the Trump tax cuts permanent. That'll be just a huge shot of adrenaline for for our economy and good for our pocketbooks, et cetera. Plus, you could call it that one big deportation bill as well. This will provide the resources to help get these criminal illegal aliens out of this country in a major way. So that's got to happen as well. But I want to break down some of the sticking points. So we'll get to that here in a second. But first, Montana's U.S. Senator and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy was on with Kayleigh McEnany on Fox News yesterday. And good job by Tim Sheehy calling out Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. After this, here's what Kayleigh McEnany reports.
Well, prospective 2028 candidate Tim Walz is at it again, using his commencement speech at the University of Minnesota Law School to compare ICE to Nazis.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets. They're in unmarked vans, wearing masks, being shipped off to foreign torture dungeons. No chance to mount a defense, not even a chance to kiss a loved one goodbye. Just grabbed up by masked agents, shoved into those vans, and disappeared. This is what the crumbling of rule of law looks like in real time. And it's exactly what the founders of this nation feared. A tyrant abusing power to persecute scapegoats and enemies.
That's what the graduates want to hear as they venture off into their sunny future careers. What Walz forgot to mention is the COVID snitch line that encouraged Minnesotans to tell on their neighbors.
Hello, you have reached the Department of Public Safety stay-at-home hotline. The information you leave is considered public information. At the tone, please leave the following information: your name, your callback number, how the stay-at-home order is being violated, and where the stay-at-home order was violated. Thank you.
Monitor the U.S. citizens, not the illegal immigrants. Here for
real. Oh, man, I forgot about the COVID snitch line. Yeah, Tampon Tim wants to dare lecture us about constitutional rights. He wants to give more rights to illegal aliens and criminal invaders. And when he stripped away rights from his own people, he had a COVID snitch line. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, we'll get Senator Sheehy's response here in just a second. First, though, man, look at that beautiful view out there. I don't know what your backyard is looking like right now. I've got a beautiful view out our Montana Talk studio windows. You know, that's what I love about having a camper. I got my camper from Brett's RV and Marine. I got my pontoon boat from Brett's RV and Marine. And the beauty is I can have a different backyard practically any weekend out of the year because of having my own family camper. And I got all my stuff already packed in there, already ready to roll. It actually makes going out on a trip a lot faster because everything's already in the camper, ready to go. Hey, you can have a different backyard every weekend as well, whether you want to be on a river somewhere, in the mountains somewhere, out on the plains, out on the prairie. Check out Brett's RV and Marine locations in Billings, Butte, and Missoula. Go to brettsrv.com. And already got out on the water this year, and it was absolutely incredible.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some scattered showers and thunder showers, mainly into the afternoon. High temperatures reaching into the upper 50s for Bozeman, expecting mid-60s, though, for Billings. For tonight, still that chance for some scattered showers and thunder showers in the evening. Mid-30s for Bozeman, low 40s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's a dilemma for the media. Now, Bruce Springsteen started this particular fight by saying that Donald Trump is unfit to be president. And President Trump hit back, never liked him, never liked his music or his radical left politics. He's not a talented guy, just a pushy, obnoxious jerk. Well, I would dissent and say that Springsteen is a very talented songwriter and musician. Same thing with Taylor Swift. Ever since I said, I hate Taylor Swift. You notice she's no longer hot, by which I think he means people buzzing about her. Well, she finished her world tour and is lying low for a while. The question is, unlike when the president talks about the Middle East or tariffs or other substantive matters, do these stories get covered? Do they matter? Or are the media taking the bait when it comes to the likes of Trump versus fill in the celebrity? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah. Kayleigh McEnany on Fox News yesterday, as she was introducing Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, she talked about how there has been a something 400+% increase in attacks on ICE agents. And of course, you know, Democrats have been, you know, attacking ICE agents themselves. That's why this Democrat Congresswoman, what's her name? LaMonica McIver has now been charged by the DOJ with assault on Monday after she and two other Democrat lawmakers tried to inspect a detention center in Newark, New Jersey. And then they ended up fighting with the ICE agents at the gate. So as they showed up with an angry mob trying to break into the facility. But anyway, that's what Kayleigh McEnany was talking about yesterday. Of course, we are your Fox News affiliate here, 1370 KXTL Butte, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, and 970 KBUL Billings. But yet, Tim Sheehy on Fox had this to say about Tim Walz's comments bashing our great men and women in federal law enforcement.
Well, I mean, I hope Tampon Tim keeps talking, because that messaging is exactly why they lost the election last year, and they're going to lose the next one, too, if he talks like that. You know, it's funny to hear him lecture law students on the rule of law, and it's wonderful to see the Democrats wrap themselves in the Constitution when they've spent the last 4 years shredding the Constitution, weaponizing every single branch of government against not just Donald Trump, but conservatives across the country, and they never seem to have any concern for the constitutional rights of Jacqueline Nungaray or Rachel Marin or Laken Riley. They're very concerned about due process when it comes to deporting murderers and violent criminal legal immigrants, but they have no concern for the due process of young women who've been raped, murdered, and thrown in the ditch. So this is the kind of messaging that led them to defeat last fall, and it's the kind of messaging that's going to have them lose again, because American people are sick and tired of this crap.
You know, and meanwhile, I look at a report from our Griff Jenkins that came out Friday that ICE just arrested a Guatemalan who had, listen to this, 30 arrest warrants after him, 16 ICE detainers in 3 years. So ICE seems to be a pretty thankless job. These guys are doing heroic work, and they're compared to Hitler, basically.
Well, as you know, this is what the Democrats do when they don't like what's happening. They compare Republicans to Hitler. They do it every time. And I think The Atlantic published three articles in the last day alone that compared Trump to Hitler and everything Republicans do to Nazism. And the truth is, we have millions of illegal immigrants in this country, millions of them that came here knowingly violating the due process of how to come here the right way. And they've demonstrably demonstrated time and again that they will commit violent crimes. And the American people have a right to assume that they're going to be safe in their own country. That's what putting Americans first means. So there's nothing wrong with enforcing the laws of this country. He's speaking at a law school graduation while he's at it. Those law students should know that the Constitution of the United States applies to everybody, as the Democrats have loved to say for the last 4 years. Nobody is above the law, and that includes illegal immigrants.
Senator Tim Sheehy, the only senator first term in the 119th Congress to pass a bill out. So congratulations on that. Thank you very much for joining me.
All right. Yeah, nobody is above the law. But, of course, these Democrat members of Congress who were fighting with ICE agents at that detention center in New Jersey who led an angry mob trying to storm the gates of the detention facility when they simply could have called ahead and booked an appointment to go visit the facility. But no, they wanted to be there and put on a show for the cameras. And so you remember you had this Democrat congresswoman. She didn't throw her back into it. She threw her belly into it. She was like belly bum rushing these ICE agents as they were fighting with federal law enforcement agents at the gates of this detention center. Well, she is now being charged by the DOJ with assault charges. She is being held accountable. Nobody's above the law, right?
The acting U.S. attorney for New Jersey, Alina Haba, made the announcement on X saying McIver had declined opportunities from her office to resolve the situation. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem also weighed in online, saying the charges come after a full review of the video from the scuffle. DHS says video shows McIver shoving her way past one of the officers. But McIver says the federal agents were the ones who escalated things. She says the charges against me are purely political. They mischaracterize and distort my actions and are meant to criminalize and deter legislative oversight.
All right. So that's the latest there. Hakeem Jeffries, I probably should have snagged the audio, but it was just pretty comical, frankly, to hear Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat House Minority Leader in Congress. He was talking about how, if they go after these Democrats, if they hold these Democrats accountable for breaking the law and for assaulting these ICE agents, that's going to be a red line. That's our red line. Oh, yeah. We've seen how Democrats enforce red lines. Remember Obama and Syria, chemical weapons and things like that. They love to talk tough. They love to talk tough, don't they? Okay, what about the spending bill? We just played that audio of Tim Sheehy on Fox News. Tim Sheehy was spot on about one of these sticking points with regard to this one big beautiful bill. One of the sticking points is what's referred to as SALT. So basically, Henry Kriegel broke it down really well Monday in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. But basically what happens is blue states have massively high tax rates because the Democrats love to steal your money. They love to raise your taxes. Look at Missoula. They're going to take every dollar of that state property tax relief and just shove it right back into city and county budgets. Well, same holds true with blue states like New York. So Republicans from New York are trying to get a break from their state taxes through federal taxpayer dollars. But look, if New York wants a break on their taxes, New York needs to vote red. And stop voting for high-taxing Democrats. That's how you get the break on your taxes. Anyway, that's one of the sticking points. We'll talk more about that next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I once worked for an electric utility with a program that encouraged customers to get rid of their second refrigerators. The idea was a little complicated. Pay people to drop off their old refrigerators, it was thought, and the demand for electricity would fall as they were unplugged. That means fewer expensive electric plants were needed and kept the growth in rates in check. There's only one problem. The old refrigerators were replaced, not simply unplugged, by cooperating customers, and the impact on demand was minimal. Research finds the same thing for agricultural land use programs. Given the freedom to choose specific plots of land to set aside to lie fallow or to remain uncut for forest land, landowners choose plots that they weren't going to plow or cut anyway, essentially collecting payments to take actions they were already planning to do. The popularity of these kinds of options is less easy to understand, but their objectives are unfulfilled. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. May is Lupus Awareness Month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describes it as a long-term autoimmune disease that affects many parts of the body and has many different symptoms and signs, making it a difficult disease to diagnose. The most common symptom is fatigue, always feeling really tired, which can impact both physical and mental health, in turn affecting your quality of life. Other symptoms include swelling or pain in muscles and joints, skin rashes, including a butterfly-shaped face rash, hair loss, fever, and frequent mouth sores. There are also less common symptoms like sensitivity to the sun, heart, lung, or kidney issues, fingers or toes turning blue or white, or feeling numb, mental health conditions, even eye damage. Lupus has no cure, but can be treated and managed using medicine and making lifestyle changes. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
House Republicans hope to pass their budget reconciliation / farm bill this week to meet the Speaker's Memorial Day deadline. The GOP budget measure, which includes a 10 to 20% boost in reference prices and a controversial SNAP savings, cleared some objections by deficit hawks late Sunday night. Riding on the bill's fate wasn't just the president's tax and spending agenda, but agriculture's as well. House Speaker Mike Johnson addressed farming challenges.
Very few people start family farms. These are third, fourth, sometimes fifth generation operations. You have to have them. You have to have diversification in the food supply. You have to have producers so that we have fruits and vegetables and nuts and all the things that we need that farmers and ranchers provide to America. We cannot rely on other countries for our food supply.
The Senate is keeping a close eye on House developments. GOP leader John Thune.
We are coordinating very closely with our House counterparts at the committee level, at the leadership level, and we know they have to get 218 votes.
Republicans are unable to lose more than three amid a razor-thin House majority. Should the bill succeed, Thune says the Senate will be ready.
And when it comes over here, we will be prepared for various contingencies, obviously one of which could be taking up the House bill and then offering a Senate substitute.
Some senators have objected to Medicaid cuts. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I was just checking X there as I was listening in on the Farm and Ranch Report. President Trump is on Capitol Hill standing alongside Speaker of the House Mike Johnson right now as we speak. And the Trump War Room, I think it was, just shared a couple of, actually this was from RNC Research on X. If President Trump's one big beautiful bill does not pass, Americans will see a 68% tax increase. Why do Democrats want to raise taxes on hardworking Americans? So that was shared by RNC Research on X. I just gave that a repost as well. I think President Trump gave some remarks in that audio clip as well. I'll check on that. But so what are the sticking points right now? Politico Playbook has this. Trump makes a rare trip to the Capitol this morning to join the House GOP conference meeting at 9 a.m. in what may prove a pivotal moment for the Republican Party's massive legislation. Let's see here. The hard right, this is from CNN's Manu Raju and colleagues, the hard right is holding firm and may yet stand up to Trump. House Freedom Caucus Chair Andy Harris said negotiations should continue and push the bill past Memorial Day. But even some hardliners signaled that they will let it proceed through rules and set up the real test for the floor vote. The devil is in the details. Members who want a higher state and local tax SALT deduction said a meeting with Johnson last night was productive but did not reach a deal. Stricter Medicaid work requirements and ending the so-called clean energy tax credits remain two big outstanding questions. So that's from Politico's Playbook, and that matches the reporting from Fox News Radio as well. They say the key sticking points include the SALT cap, green energy tax credits, spending cuts, and an earlier start date for Medicaid work requirements. First, I think the SALT deal should be a no-go. If New Yorkers want to break on their taxes, New Yorkers need to elect better officials at the local and state level. We shouldn't have to foot the bill for them. So you've got a handful of Republicans that are blocking a one big beautiful bill because of that reason. Then on the other hand, you've got a handful of Republicans from the Freedom Caucus that are also trying to make some reforms here. And I think, you know, I agree with them. Stephen Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. I think it sounds like there's three easy fixes that could be made to this one big beautiful bill. But I think I also understand why Republicans are hesitant to do anything that could tank the effort to, A, fund the Border Patrol effort and the deportation effort. Because, look, if we don't secure our country from these criminal, illegal, alien invaders, we don't have a country. That is our greatest threat right now that needs to be dealt with. We need to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. That's going to be a huge boost to our economy. We can't allow a massive tax hike to happen to the American people. Those are the two top priorities. But massive spending needs to be reined in as well. This is what Stephen Moore says are three easy fixes. First, look, get a simple Medicaid reform. Don't wait until 2029 to kick in the work requirement for able-bodied adults. Let's start that right now. That makes sense. The Montana legislature and the governor just passed a new Medicaid work requirement. They just upped the age for exemptions to the Medicaid expansion work requirement. Congress should be able to do the same thing. I mean, look at all of the infighting in the Montana legislature with all the complaints of the Montana legislature. They got that one done. So Congress needs to get that one done as well. Seems like that should be an easy fix to throw in here. Second, most of the $750+ billion in Joe Biden's green new scam giveaways won't end until after 2028. Chip Roy is right. Move those up. Front load the savings. That should seem to be an easy fix there, although you've got Republican sellouts like Lisa Murkowski trying to undermine efforts on that front, I would add. And then another fix that Stephen Moore talks about here is adding back the 15% corporate tax rate, either for all companies or at a minimum for Made in America producers. The House leadership argues the current bill makes the effective rate 15% when all the deductions are added in. If that's true, then eliminate them all and drop the rate. So just get rid of the deductions and just drop the rate permanently. That's another point that Steve Moore is making there. But those two points bump up the work requirements for able-bodied adults. Don't wait for that to kick in until 2029. Make it kick in, you know, much sooner. And then chipping away, like Chip Roy talks about it, the green new scam, $750+ billion, that makes sense as well. All right, let's see. Speaking of one big beautiful bill, Ted Cruz weighed in with Sean Hannity last night. He actually thinks it would have a better that the outlook is better in the Republican-controlled Senate than in the Republican-controlled House right now for peeling back some of this spending. I thought that was pretty interesting based off of the, you know, a few minutes. The Montana Rescue Mission is celebrating the grand opening of their new unified campus in Billings. That is taking place today. So we've got Executive Director Matt Lundgren from the Montana Rescue Mission going to join us here in just a few minutes to talk about that. Obviously, they had a big fundraising effort to make that happen. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the challenge of homelessness here in Montana over the past few years. And as I've said before, there's those that do it right, and there's those that don't do it so right. And from everything I've heard, the Montana Rescue Mission, they've got accountability built in place and more, and they're really trying to get people out of homelessness, not just trap them into that lifestyle. And so anyway, looking forward to chatting with Matt Lundgren here in just a couple of minutes. First, though, here you go, Sean Hannity, Ted Cruz, talking about one big, beautiful bill. And especially as negotiations are underway right now.
Every senator that's up for re-election in 26 should want this passed because the odds of the recovery going faster are that much greater. Do you agree or disagree?
I absolutely agree, and we're going to get it done. Look, budget reconciliation, which is the main exception to the Senate filibuster, is the principal avenue that we're going to legislate what we need to get accomplished during Trump's first term. We're going to use budget reconciliation to secure the border and to invest billions of dollars in building the wall, hiring Border Patrol agents, hiring ICE agents, using drones and infrared and fixed wing and rotary wing aircraft and detention centers and ICE agents. All of that we're going to get done. We're going to rebuild the military, and we're going to extend the 2017 Trump tax cuts and make them bigger and bolder. All of that we've got to get done. Now, I will say this, Sean. the process is going to be messy. You know, Otto von Bismarck famously said, there are two things you don't want to see being made, sausage and legislation. This will be ugly. There's going to be some guts and bones and entrails mixed in. But we will get to yes, because if we don't, on December 31st, the Trump tax cuts expire and an automatic $4 trillion tax increase kicks in. No Republican in the House or Senate wants that to happen. So I think we will get there, but there will probably be a lot of twists and turns between here and the final destination.
All right. And then he went on to tell Sean Hannity how he actually thinks that conservatives will have a better luck in the Senate, which is odd. Because it used to be that the House would press, you know, for more conservative reforms, and then the Senate was the blockade. And now apparently he says the Senate is more likely to get some conservative reforms added into this, even more so. So that was interesting. Elias in Belgrade messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Don't forget, as part of the Big Beautiful Bill and the budget reconciliation is also the Hearing Protection Act and the Short Act. Elias says that's some of the best pro-Second Amendment legislation in a long time. The Republicans need to be reminded of what the people want, and that's to protect the Constitution. That was from Elias in Belgrade.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yes, you know, sometimes we'll try to do the more featurey interviews after our 7:50 break. You know, if there's just an event coming up or something like that. But I thought, no, this is, we got to give this some more time because it is very fascinating to see what all they're going to be doing at the Montana Rescue Mission. You know, over the past few years in particular, as Montana has just been, shall we say, invaded by outsiders, whether it's illegal aliens or whether it's political refugees fleeing the cow states of California, Oregon, and Washington, or it's an increase in homelessness. I mean, it's just been a big topic of conversation. And as we've said before, there's folks that are doing it right. There's folks that maybe aren't doing it so well. But from everything I've heard, the Montana Rescue Mission is an outfit that's doing it right. They're doing it well, and they're helping the homeless, but they're also not just trying to keep people stuck in the homeless situation either. They're trying to help them out of that. Matt Lundgren, the executive director for the Montana Rescue Mission, great to have you back in studio with us.
Great to be here this morning, Aaron. What a beautiful day it is for our grand opening and ribbon cutting.
I was going to say, I just did, you know, we've got the whole top floor here at the Doubletree Hotel, and I refilled my cup of coffee, I walked around over to the east side of the building, and just the sunshine. Yeah. What a beautiful day.
Yeah, compared to yesterday, I thought, this could be tough with our outdoor portion of our event. We're going to have live music out there and snacks and refreshments and then have tours from 1 to 4 and just show people what the community has done by investing in our ministry and the work that we do to end homelessness one person at a time.
So, you know, it's interesting, this new you're going to be cutting the ribbon on this new unified campus, as it's referred to today. This isn't just a homeless shelter.
Oh, boy, no.
I mean, I asked Rock, I said, hey, give me the latest on what's going on with the Montana Rescue Mission in Billings and their new facility. Look, emergency shelter, low-income apartments, vocational training, mental health care, and I think this is the most important one, spiritual support.
Yeah. Yeah, we have full-time chaplain. We have chapel every day. We have Bible study every day. We have Christ-centered recovery groups. A lot of our folks that come to us are battling twin demons, I call it, both mental illness and addiction. And I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg. If people start using drugs to quiet the voices in their head, or they start drinking and then they hear voices. Old Jack Daniels has a loud voice sometimes. And so when people come to us, oftentimes they have a lot of barriers. Not only have they lost, you know, their place to live, but they've sometimes lost their sanity. They've lost their control on their addictions and on their behaviors. And when they come to us, they get a chance to just stop, breathe, heal, and then rebuild.
Describe this new campus that you're going to be celebrating here later today.
Yeah, well, it's really a wonder. We went from about 30,000 square feet in our old building to 200,000 square feet. So it's just, it's incredible. We've got all sorts of different levels of care. Our lowest level is our emergency shelter. It's just for people who are actively using, people in mental health crisis. People can come in if they're drunk or high or whatever, but that's not a permanent warehouse. That's a place for people to be for a little while, to talk to our therapist, to talk to our addiction counselors, our chaplain, to say, is today the day you're going to get well? And then they can move up. The next level is our long-term program. It's really a one-year inpatient program where people can live with us and rebuild their lives. They're taking classes every day. They're seeing the therapist, whether they're seeing the nurse practitioner, seeing the chaplain. And during that year, they're checking out a vocational track. On those vocational tracks, there's seven different areas they can choose. They can choose to learn welding, auto repair, cabinet making, HVAC, culinary, retail, or clerical. You want to do something, you can do it with us. You can get trained. Not just the guy on the job site pushing the broom, but the guy swinging the hammer. You can make a living bending wrenches, not just sweeping up the shop when they got you done, right? All of that. Then when people progress through that, we have affordable housing on the top floor for the community and also for the graduates of our program that can move up into the 29 units. All of that's surrounded by our campus, which includes outdoor gardens and outdoor courtyard. We have a fire pit. We've got a water fountain, a playground for the kids. We just have it all under one unified roof. We used to be kind of spread out. Women's shelter, men's shelter, different programs all over town. Now it's all right there on that 2100 block of Minnesota Avenue.
And all without a dime of city or county funds, if I understand, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Now, in the past, we've gotten a special grant for this or grant for that or some money from the legislature to build the brick and mortar. But our regular ongoing support is from private donations and from grantors and, you know, just... from time to time, we have a well-meaning rancher who'll bring in a side of beef, and boy, we need that, you know, or someone will bring in a pallet of potatoes or lentils or something. That's the stuff that keeps us going, as well as, you know, people writing a $10 check or more, right? And obviously, it's been a lot of $10 checks to get us to our goal. We're right there at the end within about $100,000 of reaching our $24 million goal.
You know, it's crazy, too, because as you described this new unified campus for the Montana Rescue Mission, it's more like a career center. It's mm-hmm. not, like I say, it's not just a homeless shelter. It's a career center, and then it's a spiritual center as well. It's really got to be all the above. I mean,
yeah.
You know, people need that economic opportunity. But look, there's people that have economic opportunity, and you can give them a bunch of cash, you can give them a home, and they might lose it 2 years from now if
That's
they don't
correct.
Have their spiritual house in order.
That's exactly right. You know, the old model was you give people three hots and a cot, right? Three hot meals and a cot. You can do that in Deer Lodge. That doesn't always work, right? And so what we do is wrap our arms around people. We call it surrounding services, where we're there with the spiritual care, with the mental health care, the addiction recovery, vocational training, all that. And let's say they start in the emergency shelter, they work their way up to our program. If they have a slip, they don't go back out on the street. They just drop down a level and get it back together again. They go up to the apartments, and they're doing well. And let's say they lose their job, and they're going to become homeless. Well, guess not. They're not. They're just going to come back down a level to the main program and work on it until they can regain their job. And we've even got job coaches that'll help people. You're struggling in your job. Maybe you want to tell your boss where to stick it. Well, you can talk to the chaplain or the job coach, and he can help you work through those issues. Because we've all had rough days at work, and, you know, Mondays
we
can be like
we all get short
that.
Fuses from time
oh,
to time.
Oh, boy,
sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes it's better not to press send on that email
yeah,
and just
exactly.
give a little bit of time before
Sleep
you hit
on
the
it.
Send button.
Exactly.
So what is the state of homelessness in Montana right now? I mean, we had a lot of political refugees flood into the state yeah. post-COVID-19. That sent, you know, property values skyrocketing.
Absolutely.
I think there was we had a report on our Montana Talks website that I shared yesterday, and I think it was like a UK Daily Mail or some publication like that. But if I remember right, it said in order to buy a home in Montana on average or whatever the specific terminology was, you have to make $177,000 a mm-hmm. year basically to afford a home. Now, obviously, those numbers are weighted towards the Bozeman, Big Sky, Kalispells
yeah.
of the world
sure.
right now. But,
yeah.
but it still gives you a sense of how everywhere,
that's right.
like Billings and some of the larger towns, has, you know, the values have gone up. So it's harder
Absolutely.
To get
house,
into a home.
And renting has gotten more expensive, too, here. In Billings, rents have almost doubled in the last 6 years. And so just imagine you're working a minimum wage job. And even though, you know, minimum wage is creeping up there, 16, 18, 20 bucks an hour, it's still hard to make a living, right? So sometimes people will come to us, you know, lost in addiction and mental illness. Sometimes people will come to us in what we call situational homelessness. You know, you just got priced out of renting, you can't afford a place, and you either have the choice of living, you know, in Ekalaka and commuting to Billings every day for work, or you might have to live in your car or your truck. And our outreach team goes out several days a week and finds people and says, hey, don't sleep in your car. Come on in. Don't sleep in a park. Come on in. That's what we do. We say, you can make it, and we're going to help you rebuild your lives. And
because some people don't want help, and they want to do it on their own. Well, and you got to respect that, but also say, hey, guys, this is why we have a facility
exactly.
like this.
Yeah, this is America. You can do whatever you want. You got freedom. However, if people want to come in, they're welcome. And then our case managers will sit with you and say, let's do a budget. Because a lot of folks, even though they've been through school, everything else, they sit down, they don't always make wise choices. I know I'm always wondering about the newest big screen TV or whatever it is, right? And, you got to put it in the budget and you can afford it, just like rent. And
how do you deal with the scammers, though, that just seem like they want to just leech off of every program out there?
I say this to folks. If you see somebody in the Walmart parking lot or on the street corner by the interstate with a sign, homeless, please help me, please don't give to those guys. 99 times out of 100, it's a scam. They're going to drink it or shoot it in their veins or smoke it. Give to legitimate organizations that are having proven results, right? And last year, we put 733 people through our program into permanent housing and into jobs. So without our work, get this right, 733 people would be on the streets of Billings. Maybe in a street corner,
and
wherever.
You know where your money's going. When you give it to that guy on the street corner, you don't know where that's
going.
And when you give it to a legitimate organization that's doing it right, you get a tax break, too, documented. So
And with the Montana Endowment Tax Credit, you give towards our endowment, you get that 40% tax credit that the legislature just re-upped on. So, there's so many advantages of giving to a legitimate nonprofit that's really making a difference.
Tell us when and where, and can the public come join you for your grand opening?
Absolutely. Today, from 1 to 4, there's tours about every 5 minutes, so come on down. Parking might be tough, but you can walk a block or two, see the whole campus. And then from 4 to 5, we're having the ceremony where we're recognizing the donors and the contractors and everyone. And then right at 5, we're going to all grab a pair of scissors and cut that ribbon.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I can see your facility from here, but just peek over the edge of the top floor balcony here. Matt Lunger, great to see you. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate your time this morning.
Great to be on with you.
All right, quick break. We got phone lines open for you coming up after this, and a lot of big topics to cover from Congress to the Joe Biden latest controversy and much more. 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app.
My cat, Freddy, loves to be brushed and cuddled. But stirring up his cat allergens meant sneezing and itchy eyes.
Achoo!
Then I found Purina One Live Clear. It's cat food that reduced the major allergen and my suffering in as little as 21 days. Now, we feel closer than ever. If you have issues with cat allergens, you really need to try Purina One Live Clear. Try new Purina One Live Clear today. Purina One, a difference from day one.
Fox News commentary.
On this National Police Week, we honor the officers we've lost and all the brave men and women who risk their lives each and every day to protect and defend us all. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House, Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
In all the hustle, bustle, and breaking news of the moment, I want to be sure we don't forget this week is National Police Week. This week, and hopefully every week, I ask we take a moment to honor, remember, and celebrate the brave men and women of law enforcement. So far in 2025, we've lost 25 officers in the line of duty, and that's 25 too many. Make no mistake, there is still very much a war on cops in this country. While I believe the majority of Americans love and support our officers, there are far too many who still demonize, disparage, and even want to defund our men and women in blue. We can't stand for that. Our country and our communities are stronger and safer when we loudly and proudly show our support for the thin blue line and those who risk their lives to uphold it. Thank you and your families for all you do. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Do pick up a chance for some scattered showers and thunder showers, mainly into the afternoon. High temperatures reaching into the upper 50s for Bozeman, expecting mid-60s, though, for Billings. For tonight, still a chance for some scattered showers and thunder showers in the evening, mid-30s for Bozeman, low 40s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Can Missoula, Montana become a hub for film and TV production, creating a few hundred jobs in the process? Dennis Bragg has the update on the former Roseburg Forest Products mill site in Missoula. You can see that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, is the project going to be up and running faster than expected? An update on the St. Mary's irrigation.
It offers and really attractive financing options right now. Renewal by Anderson Windows and Entry Doors. Isn't it time?
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, you didn't hear it. We're going to put John Jackson on the microphone a little early here. He's already in the house. I think he's going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour as well, too. But, John, you didn't hear about the gay trees. Billings has gay trees, apparently. They want gay trees. They want black trees. They want Hispanic trees. Billings had applied for a $1 million federal grant. And it was a DEI grant. It was a DEI grant, $1 million to plant trees. And I was like, what is DEI about planting trees? John, can you just do an about face for me?
About face.
Do an about face for me. There's a lot of trees out our windows right now. Isn't there a lot of trees out there?
Well, the typical scam is there is so much money out there, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars out there just being wasted of your tax money by our federal government, that they've got all that money available just under this certain header, right? If it's under DEI, or it used to be under the Biden regime, if it's under that header, by God, we've got hundreds of millions of dollars. Trees, waste, fraud, and abuse is just...
You got to hand it to the Parks and Rec folks in Billings. They're like, hey, we got an opportunity to get $1 million to plant some trees. Call it DEI. Call it climate resiliency. Call it whatever you want. We're going to get some grant money out of this this whole deal. But isn't that funny? Because I saw a couple of headlines about, Billings loses out on $1 million DEI grant to plant trees. And it's like, what is DEI about planting trees in Billings? Are these gay trees? Are they black trees? Are they Hispanic trees?
Disadvantaged trees in some way.
They all look green to me. I mean, like, you could have pitched this as a climate resiliency project more so than a DEI project. But it's just funny, like, this is how the liberal media gets outraged. Oh, Trump's cuts are cutting DEI trees in Billings. It's like, I'm looking out the window, and it's a beautiful green view out there with all of the... Billings has a lot of trees.
Well, see, what a lot of taxpayers don't understand is, like, say, this $1 million for these gay trees, this never ends, okay? Once you get that $1 million, then it perpetuates upon itself every year. Every year, it's the same thing. And 5 years from now it's $10 million for gay trees. The next thing you know... You got a forest full of queer trees. I mean, you never know where this is.
Well, then you can't cut down the tree don't cut down the gay tree. That's discriminatory. Yeah, but their argument was that, well, there's underserved communities that don't have enough trees. John, you know, when I drive around towns and cities, the older neighborhoods and, you know, have the best tree coverage and have the best canopies typically because they've been there longer. So the trees have more time to grow. The underserved areas that don't have the tree canopies are the newer, oftentimes wealthier neighborhoods. So it's like, is this the EV thing all over again where our taxpayer dollars are going to fund, you know, subsidize wealthy people? I don't know. I'm sure there's more to it, but it's just like, this is what people are going to get offended by. Forget the fact that we're $36 trillion in debt and Joe Biden left a $2 trillion deficit, facing President Trump. They cut the DEI tree project down.
But you have to admit, Aaron, the thing about gay trees is they are fabulous. I mean, they are just more fabulous and more decorative than any other tree out there. You
got to
admit that.
Oh, man, yeah. The things we talk about on this show.
You know, I want, as a lead-in to the next hour, I just wanted to remind you of one key point out here, and it's critical to America. American culture and American jurisprudence, and that is no one is above the law.
No one. Not even LaMonica McIver, huh?
Not even LaMonica.
Throwing her belly at those federal law enforcement agents.
I want to say that. I'm going to say that on Radio Spaces, Twitter, until every liberal out there wants to stick a drill in their ear.
Hakeem Jeffries said this is a red line, though. They can fight all the law enforcement agents they want to, and that's a red line.
Come on with it, Oswald Bates. Let's see what you got, Oswald. Let's go.
All right. We're going to get John Jackson's take on this massive scandal about the Biden cancer diagnosis and more coming up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I once worked for an electric utility with a program to encourage customers to get rid of their second refrigerators. The idea was a little complicated. Pay people to drop off their old refrigerators, it was thought, and the demand for electricity would fall as they were unplugged. That means fewer expensive electric plants were needed and kept the growth in rates in check. There's only one problem. The old refrigerators were replaced, not simply unplugged, by cooperating customers, and the impact on demand was minimal. Research finds the same thing for agricultural land use programs. Given the freedom to choose specific plots of land to set aside to lie fallow or to remain uncut for forest land, landowners choose plots that they weren't going to plow or cut anyway, essentially collecting payments to take actions they were already planning to do. The popularity of these kinds of options is less easy to understand, but their objectives are unfulfilled. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.